You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This is Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day. Seated beside me is Marcos Santibanez. How are you, young man?
I'm doing great, thank God.
Yeah, thank God Almighty. I want to tell you about this guy, folks. This is an amazing story. You're not going to want to miss a moment. He was born in Havana, Cuba. That's right. At the age of 18, he was introduced to a plethora of street drugs here in the United States, a gravitational pull towards cocaine. His meteoric rise as a street hustler skyrocketed, and he set the drug world ablaze, became the main supplier for drug trafficking, cocaine from Miami to New York to Puerto Rico. At the height of his infamy, Marcos became involved with a Colombian cartel. You know, I'm just a naive guy. I'm just a regular guy. So what is this cartel? Who's behind this cartel? Is it one family or?
No, it's a group. It's a group of, we call them thugs, right? Guys that are involved with drugs. It could be a cartel of criminal enterprise. It could be a cartel of a gang. And, you know, it's a group of people.
I mean, you're a smart guy. If you wanted to, you could have been a doctor. You could have been anything, right?
Well, that's what, you know, I didn't have a choice at 7 years old. I didn't have a good father figure. My dad taught me that when I go to school and somebody messes with me, you break their head. The teachers will let you go to the bathroom, come use the bathroom at our house. So at sixth grade year.
The teachers, what about the bathroom?
Then my teacher did not let me go to the bathroom to come use the bathroom at our house. Not to take nobody's thing, you know what I mean? Just for me to do whatever I wanted. So by the age of my sixth grade year, I had the whole school bully.
And you became a bully?
Yeah. In my elementary, I bullied the whole school.
Yeah.
In my eighth grade.
Did you enjoy being a bully?
Well, I was just a little tough. I was a tough little kid because of my father figure, you know, when he taught me like a pit bull. And then my eighth grade, a teacher gave me a shirt that says, "Here comes trouble." So then when we moved from Hialeah to Carroll City, my high school was 97% black, 2% Hispanic, 1% American. My first day, I got to school, I fought, I got kicked out. I came back, I fought, I got kicked out. And that's the way I did for a month until the teachers and the principal saw that I was a good baseball player. They told me not to come to class. They'll give me a C. And by the age I was seven.
Don't come to class. We'll give you a C as long as you play baseball.
Yeah, we won state champs the year we graduated in 1982 in the state of Florida. And after that, I was introduced to cocaine by a family member. And that's when I went into that world.
Now, you seem like a very sweet, kind guy now. But were you not sweet? Or was it really, was the kind and good Marcos underneath the skin all the time hiding?
Well, I had two personalities. Because my mom, when we came from Cuba in 1971, she was 4 years old. She was an orphan. She never had a mother and a father. And when we came from Cuba, after 7 years, one of her sisters, they stabbed her 33 times and they killed her sister in Cuba. Her husband was an alcoholic. And 33 represents Jesus Christ when he resurrected from the dead. And a lady came and spoke to her mom about the truth, the way, and the life. And those that are worried, have a burden to come to God and God will give you rest. And my mom surrendered her life to Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And she consecrated her life to go on to church. And then she used to take me to church. At 7 years old, and my favorite verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. So then I had the good side of my mom teaching me the ways of God. Then I had the rough life of the street that my dad, at 6 years old, taught me to fight, not to take nobody's crap. And I became, at 18 years old, I got involved in drugs, cocaine. And I was taking cocaine from Miami to New York. And going from New York to Puerto Rico and selling drugs to the chief police of Puerto Rico, 18 and a half years old. Then at 19 years old, I had a candy store in New York where you play pool table and pinball machines. And it was just the front. I'm the guy that came out with the name Speedball. I was selling dime bags of cocaine to the heroin addictors. I was making $30,000 every 2 weeks at 19 years old.
Wow. Now you were selling what? What's a Speedball?
Speedball is it was dimes of cocaine that the heroin users mix cocaine with heroin. It's called speedball.
Oh.
It gives them a rush, a different high than just regular heroin.
Did you ever try the drugs yourself?
No heroin, only cocaine. After I lost my brother, I started using cocaine.
I lost my brother too. How did you lose your brother?
Well, my brother graduated Liberty Baptist College in Virginia, where Jerry Falwell was a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
I
met Jerry Falwell a couple times.
He got three pay full scholarship at Liberty Baptist College, Day North, and St. Thomas University.
Oh, this is because of your mother.
Well, my brother was a good baseball player, and he was a Christian. And when my dad left my mom and saw me involved in drugs, he walked away from God, and they shot him and they killed him in New York.
Your brother was shot and killed?
Yeah.
Why did he walk away from Christ?
Because my dad left my mom, and he came home and he saw our family divided. He saw his little brother selling drugs. And he was a substitute teacher, was going to sign to become a professional baseball player. And he walked away from God, and they shot him and they killed him, and we buried him on my birthday, July 22, 1985.
Why did they shoot him, though?
They robbed him in New York.
Oh, just a common robbery. Why shoot somebody?
He got involved in drugs. My brother got involved in drugs.
Yeah.
Something he never should have done. He was a model student, never got a traffic ticket.
Well, he knew the Lord, right?
Yeah,
but he erred in his ways. Do you believe he's in heaven?
Yeah, of course. You don't lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, your name's written in the book of the Lamb. No one can take that.
Are you a dad?
I am a dad.
Because if you had a child that went to prison for killing three people, and you went into the prison, that child to visit your child, that child's still your child, huh?
That's right. No one
So if we can love each other, how much more can God love us?
That's right. When God forgives you for your sins, he no longer remembers them. And once your name is written in the book of the Lamb, you have bought at a price. No one can raise that price.
Now, did you mention that your grandmother was a devout Christian?
No, my mother. My mother is the one that instructed me in the Word of God as a little boy.
Just a quick little story. So now your mother's sister was killed violently. A lot of violence in your lineage. Shoo. And then... So your mother comes to know the Lord. How? Did she ever tell you?
Well, yeah. A lady from a Baptist church called New Testament Baptist Church came to my mom's house when my mom had a meltdown when they stabbed her sister. And she gave her life to Christ in 1977.
We're going to do a quick version of your testimony, and then we're going to do a longer version, okay? So the quick testimony is you got involved in drugs. You became a millionaire by the time you were 22, a multimillionaire.
Yes, I used to. I was making $40,000 to $60,000 a week. By the age of 24 years old, I used to ski behind President Ford's house in Arrowhead, Colorado.
I interviewed him years ago.
What's that?
I interviewed him years ago, right in this town.
Oh, President Ford?
Yeah.
in Arrowhead, Colorado. He lived. He still lives there. I guess he still got his house.
Oh, he died.
Well, I forgot. Well, back then.
Yeah.
He had a house in Arrowhead, Colorado.
Yeah.
And I used to go twice a year skiing in Vail and Arrowhead, Colorado, all around the United States. I had everything a man wanted.
Now, when I met you at a film festival in Orlando, and it's a Christian film festival. Now, I came right up to you, and we started talking. I knew immediately I wanted to get to know you, what this is all about. I love people that are converted. I love people that repent. And I said, I watch those movies, and I get so upset watching those movies, and I think, look, the guy's got 5 million, 3 million, 10 million. Why not stop right there? You haven't been caught by the cops. Take your money, go to the beach, have a good time, travel around the world. And I said, why didn't you do that? And you said, because of?
Well,
pride,
greed. Power, fame. It's just like an adulterer. You know, he has a relationship with this. He's married, has a relationship with this girl. And why does he stop? Why does he keep committing adultery until he gets caught?
And also because it's almost like an addiction. Now, I want to ask you this. So I want to jump to where you became a born-again Christian. Now, you're in Miami, I think it is. You're somewhere, and you're these four Canadians?
Yeah, Christian.
Tell us the story.
Well, every Wednesday, by the age of 24, 25 years old, I had Atlanta, Georgia, McNabb Foods and Decap Lockdown, St. Petersburg, Carroll City, and Liberty City of Miami. I was sending every Wednesday 150 kilos to Atlanta, Georgia, 80 kilos to St. Petersburg. And I was selling 10 kilos a day in my hometown in Carroll City, Liberty City.
Weren't you afraid of getting caught, or were the cops all paid off?
Well, of course I was afraid. My dad used to tell me, one day they're going to catch you in the key of the cell. They're going to make it out of chocolate. You're never going to come out. So I had a tension that I was worried. You know, every week I used to disappear for 2 or 3 days using cocaine because of the tension I had that I was going to get busted because I had my two best friends, Lloyd and Jeffrey, both got caught, gave them life never to come out. My two other...
And they're in there now?
Well, no, they came out. Thank God they came out.
Okay.
Jail.
Now, I want to get quickly to the side of the story, though. How did you come to know Jesus?
Well, that day that I sold two big shipments of drugs, and I was using drugs in a hotel, I was married, and I had five girlfriends besides my wife. And I met these Canadians. They were Christians in their honeymoon. And I told them, look, I'm Cuban. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm one of the biggest drug kingpins in the United States. I got everything a man wants, but I'm empty inside. And I think I'm going to lose everything. And he goes, well, why don't you come upstairs and let me read you the Bible?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I had $60,000 that day in the hotel. And I went upstairs, and all the guy did was open the Bible. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And right there, the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin. And I told him, I know what I got to do. And I kneeled down, and I said, Jesus Christ, I know you're God. And I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins, because I know you died on the cross for my sins. And Father, I know in my heart you raised yourself from the dead. I surrender my heart and my life to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.
Now, was this the first time you said such a prayer?
Well, that's the first time that I got convicted.
So yeah.
Because when I was younger, I used to go to youth group with the church, and my mom used to take me. I said it a few times, but it was never any repentance.
When you did it this time, you were truly repentant. Did you feel a presence of the Lord?
Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit came inside of me. It felt like a balloon when you fill it up like that. That's how I felt inside. And right then, I called my mom. I told the guys that my mom's a Christian. I called them. My mom started crying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I could have been dead. I could have been in jail. Overdose, running from the law. And by the grace of God, nothing ever happened to me. And I had built a cocaine cartel in the state of the United States of America. I came up with a book. It's called For This Reason.
From Being a Drug Lord to Serving the Lord by Marcos Santibanez. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. If you want to hear the entire story, listen to my afternoon show from 3 to 4. I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day for Marcos Santibanez.
Dr. Martine DeCambray of Braces for Us has been creating healthy and beautiful smiles for adults, teens, and children in the Port St. Lucie community for over 10 years by blending art and science and using the best technology to create those beautiful smiles using the client's very own teeth. Located at 1620 Bayshore Boulevard, Port St. Lucie, Dr. DeCambray can be reached at 772-344-7771, online at bracesforus.com, and on Instagram at bracesforus_.
Stay up all night, walking the floor, tormented by fear. I've got the power.